Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for joining us in our New Life series with Dr. Rav Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. And we're happy you're here with us today. We're trying to learn from Dr. Lightman how to build our society here in Israel as a society and the lives of each of us as individuals and a family and create new relations like one big family. We have warm relations in a family. We feel safe. We're loved. And that's how we want to live. That's how we deserve to live. You're welcome to join us. And our discussion today with Rav Lightman, it's taking us to a special place in the Jewish culture, the Israeli experience. We started in the previous discussion, and we want to develop another discussion about it. We want to look at the outstanding women in Jewish history and see in each character a special attribute that today we can use in our lives today, especially the female public in Israel, to take us all to a better place toward that one family, that big one happy family. Nitza, please get us into this. We can look at these great women and see how they acted, how they behaved to lead the nation to a better place, to lead society to a place of unity, connection. And that's what we want to learn. So in the previous show, you told us about Eve and Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah. And today, now, I want to verify some principle that we see it, a motive that's repeating itself with women, and that is saving themselves with the help of tricks. Women lose a lot of, like Yael, they use trickery. Yael used tricks, and we see how much she got in return, how much recognition she got for that. What are these schemes? These Esther also used tricks. What are these tricks, and how can we use these tricks in a smart manner? It's like a cover, because a woman is operating in a hidden manner, behind the scenes. She likes to be a little bit modest. Her desire has to be implemented, but her entire desire we see in her kids. She pushes them, she prepares them for acts, for success, and she enjoys them succeeding. She doesn't have to be standing out. Her implementation is in her kids, is in her man. Her implementation is in other people, her realization. And that same example of Miriam, let's say, she's always acting for the family, with Moses, who was born, with her looking after, when he was breastfeeding, when he was little, when Pharaoh's daughter came and took him home, little Moses home. Then she brought him back. She's always the go-between, between the house of Pharaoh and the house of Moses' mother. And then afterward, even though Moses is growing up there, he's growing and he's in touch with Miriam, he's in touch with Aaron. It's not just that she knows him, that he has some brother. After he was 40 years with Pharaoh, and then 40 years with Yitro, and then there's this family intimacy. They knew he was from the Jews. And so Miriam, she's also not young. We think she's taking the drums and she starts dancing and other women. Who are we talking about? We're talking about a very old woman. Moses is 80. 40 years he was in Pharaoh's home, and 40 years in Yitro's house, and another 40 years in the desert, till age 120. Miriam was even older than him. Who are we talking about? We're talking about a woman who's elderly and still very strong, has a very strong spirit that's always leading. She's after these two brothers. She's standing after these two brothers like an older sister, and she's looking after them and supporting them the whole way. They are managing the people, but her, like she used to look after small Moses, that's how she also looks after big Moses all the time. And we see this in every place. Esther that's standing behind Mordechai, she's the connection between him and the king. And the king is the upper force, like Chazal says to us. So there's, on the one hand, a hidden character, and on the other hand, she's a leader, and we get all the power from her, and the direction, and also filling. A man who brings home, he brings money. The woman is the one that turns it into something that you can live from. She turns it into food, warmth, what's called the home. She's the one organizing everything. Her deficiency acts on the man to bring power, and her deficiency from this power to build the home. Therefore, a woman's role is the leading force, the one pushing forward, and also the one arranging the whole family. So truly we need to see, even though it's sort of cynically and we don't really pay attention to it, but we need to pay attention more and more to discover the woman's role, especially in the corrections that we have to now do in the society, especially in Israel. It's demanded of us also to arrange ourselves, and also because the crisis is global, to be a light unto the nations, to see that we can build a society as one family. To make a long story short, her role is the leading role. If we focus on the tricks, and Yael is a symbol of that, you can see it in a lot of other female characters. What is her need to use tricks? Does it show her power, or does it show her weakness? A trick is some addition. You have a certain power, and then you do some trick. What does it show? That she's weak? Whoever uses tricks, Yael, let's say, is she weak or is she strong? What is What does it mean that she uses tricks? This we even learn from Adam and Eve. Because it's impossible to go from evil inclination, from the snake that's been revealed, in a direct manner, in words that anyone can understand. She discovers that what's wrong with the relations between men and women. You can't go into it directly because they won't find a point of contact between each other, and we see they're not capable of that. But you can if we play. Our entire life, if we want to advance to a better level, we have to play this better level. Like a mother saying to her son, be good kids. What good kids? We're bad. We want to stay bad. You know what it's like every single day. But what does the mother say? But play nicely, try. You'll see how good it is. You'll discover. You just, in the meantime, try to overcome things a little bit and play nicely. And women truly, how can we say, their approach to life is a game. It's singing, it's dancing. It's the way they dress. And with that, they are coloring our lives in something that's better. And after we receive this life in this manner in some kind of game, some kind of better game over our not-so-great lives, we begin to feel the goodness of it, that it's worth it, and then we truly carry it out, actually, between us. That's what's called habit becoming second nature. You and I, now we're heading into a new gear, a new situation. A man doesn't understand it. To a man, everything's simple. He's not attracted to games. He doesn't know this. He's pretty straightforward. And a woman isn't. And here she teaches her man. We see that the female turns the man around, as it is written. She teaches him how we can now, she invites from him what we call a flirt. It's like a game that even though there's not the right connection between us, we're going to pretend there is, and then we'll reach it in the correct manner. Because if we have bad in us, how can we rise above it? Only with a game, as if it's not there. And it's really a great thing to be able to do that, that she's suggesting to a man to do. And if a man understands that precisely in this manner we can build our future. With our ego, we can't do anything. We tried many times. We can't make up with each other. What we did throughout history, especially modern history, say in the last 100 or 200 years, we took from the family all those systems that the family used to give us. Health. It used to be in the family. Women used to. There was some doctor that arrived, but he would come into the family. Instead of this whole offices and ministries and clinics, now pensions in the family, vacations, education, nursery schools. We spread everything out, took everything out of the family. Why? Because there were people in the world that wanted to use all the men and women to be slaves, that we'll be connected to our workplaces, that we will be there from the morning till the night, and the family will be something like on the side, something on the... You want to... It's even better if you don't have a family, then everyone will need their own TV, their own washing machine, their own refrigerators, and then we'll have twice as much. Then we can produce more of things. That's how they broke the family. They took all the systems out of the family, and they made it into national systems, and then you take also food that, you know, you just have to put it, throw it in the microwave, and that's it. In the freezer, and you don't need a woman. You have laundromats and everything. It's it was done on purpose from the evil inclination of people. Who really profits from it? I think it's now revealing, being revealed to everyone that no one is happy from this. So going back to the family, bringing the family back that same shape, we don't want to go back to a place where people don't have work. People are going to have 3 or 4 hours of work a day. And the rest of the time, they'll have time to be at home. You say, I'm at home for half a day. I fill those hours with all kinds of conflicts. No, we need to fill those hours by precisely teaching the families how to enjoy the term family. I remember my family. I don't remember my parents like this, but my grandmother and grandfather, my grandmother was always at home, especially probably at your house also, and my grandfather went to work. So he worked a whole day. Today there isn't really work for men. Women left work, most of them, and they looked after kids more, and the men also. They were connected and they would build a new attitude. I want to introduce two more characters that are connected to the same phenomena of tricks, not going directly, but going in a roundabout way. So first, we mentioned before Esther. She has a banquet, and there's also Abigail, King David's wife. Before she was his wife, she went to kill her husband, and King David comes to kill her husband, and she starts talking to him, and she says, if you do this, it'll harm you later. And in some womanly wisdom, some trickery, we see how she doesn't come in some straight demand, but rather these female characters, they're always coming gently. They want to be attractive to the strong man in the story, and when they buy his heart in some manner, and also add in on the way some little request, whether it's Esther who wants something from Ahasuerus or Abigail wants something from David, who in the end really doesn't kill her husband. There's always some, this female attribute of not coming straight head to head, but first to buy his heart and then cause him to do what I wanted from the beginning, and he'll feel that it's for my own good, this is the right way to do it. So with all these characters, Yael, Esther, Abigail, there's this trickery, and the question is, why when men want to achieve something, you see them coming straight in some confrontation, and there's a female attribute. At the end of the day, we like to see the results. That's important. And the question is, what can you teach us about this ability, this deep wisdom of women? And how can it help us when we want to take our lives to a better place, to a good connection, good relations between people, if you can expand about this? The thing is, it's closeness to the system of life, that a woman feels it in a, how can we say, in an internal manner. She's close to nature. Because she gives birth, she feels it inside her womb. She feels the creation, the system of breastfeeding. She feels that she has to breastfeed. She has to give. She has to have a child in her hands. She needs to have a few children, that there will be a family, that she'll have her own man. She is the center, and around her, everyone has to be. She has to supply them, otherwise she's not filling herself. She's not becoming filled. Her filling is by giving. She's giving birth and breastfeeding, and she's cooking, and she's contributing, and that's how she feels that she's realizing herself. That's a woman. And therefore, man works like clay. Whichever way she shapes him, that's how he'll go. Like a little boy, that she directs him and teaches him the wisdom of life. It comes from her, and also the forces and everything. The man brings, let's say, money, and the woman turns this money into the home, into warmth, into the right food, the right clothing, the right treatment, all those things. That's the mother. Therefore, in all those things, and now that we're going into this framework where the whole world is at like one family, so more and more I think that we're missing that force of the woman for the way she arranges the home, and we're lacking that the men will understand that just like in a family, we need to truly begin behaving on a political level and on an international level. At the national and international level, to hear a woman more, how she wants to arrange everything at home, it comes to her naturally. It's not for nothing that Abraham wanted to build his own group of students, of followers. They disconnected from Babylon and came after him to the land of Canaan. He wanted to build them to be one family, one man with one heart. He built them with the compassion of Abraham, and they said to him, "Listen what Sarah said to you. The Torah comes through her. He has the idea. He sees the way. But how to implement it in small steps, that comes from Sarah."
This sneaking—it's
not sneaking because of our ego, we can't go directly with men. We can't go with our head in the wall, like we say. What can we do? That's how it is. That's the division of our roles: power in one place and how to use it correctly in the other place. I think that this is what would save us and the entire world in a form of a family, that still a man would slightly somehow listen, bow to the woman, and behind the woman, behind the scenes, she would be turning everything around. She would be adding that method. He would surrender to her, and she would tell him how to use that force. She's like cooking everything in the background. Yes, yes. That's what happens. So how now? But for a woman, it's natural. It comes from nature. So she doesn't make mistakes. Whoever makes mistakes is the man who's disconnected from this method of the woman. So practically, how do I use now this special characteristic? Only in mutuality, by compromising, rising above our corporal nature, and slightly higher than that, seeing where we can complete one another. That's in the relations between a man and woman. And this we all pass on in the integral education. How to connect. How to connect correctly. That is actually the entire world's problem, the correct connection. Now we're going to go to another character. Hannah's story is famous because she had a very great sadness. It's a motive with a lot of the mothers that if before you said it's the place that they want to give birth and breastfeed and this is how they feel that they exist. It's written that she can't have kids. It's from her desire to breastfeed to the world. So it's not just this guy's what is the motive of barrenness, sterility? The world isn't organized as a family. There isn't the correct man that I can give birth to kids with him and start a family. That's what's happening today. Hannah prays, she begs to get pregnant and have kids, and she gives birth to Shmuel, who became Shmuel the prophet. What can we learn from Hannah about ourselves today, about the way she prayed? What is her prayer? The prayer is the discovery of the lacking, that she really wants correction, the correction of the world. Shmuel caused lots of corrections in Israel. He worked very hard for the unity, added a lot of wisdom to the existence of the nation. And that is what, and that's what she was praying for. It's again, it's not that, it's not a woman that's missing kids. That's not what the Torah is telling us about, but rather all these characters like Esther and everyone, they're all acting toward unity for the connection, and that's what's missing. And this outlook of the female prophets, it's their demand for unity, for a connection, because from Abraham onward, our entire nation was only concerned to hold themselves as one family. And toward this example, this nice example, we would always check ourselves against this example, where to advance to, what to do, where to go, to war, peace, with which enemies, in this direction or that direction, who to choose, which way. It was all based on a very simple criteria, one test. Do we connect? Will we be closer to the family, becoming one family, or not? And therefore, all these characters that we see, it's all a conflict. The Torah is only telling us about a conflict of forces between people, between the nation, how we can, the more we connect to one family. Therefore, instead of love of brothers, love thy neighbor as thyself, we fell into hatred. Everything became destroyed. What does a woman today pray for? We fell into unfounded hatred. A woman should ask for peace in the house, even less money or something else. But the main thing is that everyone will be connected, united, that there'll be warmth between everyone. That is especially what she's sensitive to. If there is a good feeling between everyone, that's it. It can be a woman that lived in the old times, simply, and there can be a woman in a castle. If there isn't a good connection between the people in the family, a queen can be sad and a poor woman can be happy. Chana is also known for prayer of thanks after she became pregnant and gave birth to Shmuel. What is thankfulness? What do we have to be thankful for today? She feels that she's very close to nature by giving birth, that she has this divine force in her giving birth and breastfeeding and distributing and feeding everyone. That's the force that comes from God, the force of life. And then she feels more her closeness to nature. That's how she becomes filled. A woman is actually connects us to the upper force. That's how we learn also from Kabbalah. She's the upper woman, the supreme woman. It's the special degree of Bina, where the force of birth comes from and bestowal and the thing that gives life to everyone. Nature is also mother nature. So if I pray for the good household, what do I have to be thankful for? The fact that you succeeded to connect everyone. That we succeeded to go above all the egoistic outbursts we're developing throughout our history by the ego growing and growing until the students of Rabbi Akiva fell from the degree of love of brothers, all of Israel are friends. We're all coming from no one. We all come as brothers, the sons of Jacob. So the fact that we reach unity between us, it's a big great joy in the Tehillim, in the poems. It's written about the mother, the happy mother, the Shechina, is the symbol of our single general mother, that we are all integrated in her, the divine presence. And only if we are all of us together inside the divine presence, the Shechina, then there we get the feeling of life, all the blessings. The next character I'd like us to talk about is Ruth is a symbol that history gives us of going after an ideology, of go after the spirit and not the material things. Let's just remind people whoever doesn't remember the story. She leaves her home and her people, her birthplace and everything, and connects with Naomi and connects to the Jewish-Israeli concept, ideology, and she symbolizes some transition that we see throughout history of special women, that they begin to feel that in this ideology of life as a single family, living in love between people, there's that essence of life. It's attractive also from the outside, that if we give an example of connecting to one family, then we'll get forces, like women. Additional forces come and connect to that same ideal of connection of one family. And it's precisely those forces that join. They give birth to the completeness along with us, because they cause all of creation outside of Israel to also connect to the same idea, because at the end of the day, everyone needs to reach a state where the entire world is one family, where the entire universe will be as one system. And then, by joining like this, the true Malchut is built, which is, and then the Mashiach, the Messiah, comes just by all the nations, all the forces joining, that everyone will know me from great to small. It will call all the nations to my home, and all the goyim will come to our home. That same term of being one family, it's talking about the nation of Israel holding on to it as a goal. But at the end of the day now, from this point forward, it has to be a goal for everyone. What can we learn from this character of Ruth and what she does from my life today as an individual in the modern society? Where does Ruth get such internal strength to leave everything and go after this ideology? It takes great strength, great force. She's really a symbol, a cultural symbol for seeing further beyond the horizon, going beyond what we know, what's familiar to us. She has this power to get rid of the handcuffs of yesterday and go toward a new tomorrow. How do I, as an individual or man or woman, it doesn't really matter, how can I acquire this power that Ruth has and take my life to a newer place? You know, to get dust off a bit and take all the things stopping me and really create something for a new life. It's an example of a person who's prepared to rise above all the previous culture and education, above all the ego that's permeating him, and surrender himself to this higher ideal, and to truly, with dedication, go forward and carry out this unity at any price. The story with Boaz and everything that happens, we see how much a woman is capable of. She understands that this ideal of all of us being together, that's why David was born to her at the end of the day. That this ideal is truly the highest. And we see to what extent a woman is capable of dealing with all the problems in order to reach this implementation. A man doesn't have strength like that. Like you said, there's something very symbolic about precisely that same woman that's disconnecting from everything that she had, everything that's familiar and safe. And it's as if she's remaining without anything. It's precisely her. She is getting that David, the king of Israel, is born to her. It's like there's a trick here, that in the transition between the old life to the new life, the perfect life, there's some need for an attribute of Ruth to smell, to feel that's what's right. And then she gets everything. She gets everything after she gave up everything. I don't even know how to explain it. That same example that Eve gave the first with the man in the discovery of the evil inclination, the ego, that same example is being carried out in all the women and all the generations. It's the same example that precisely the discovery of the evil inclination that a woman discovers and the man doesn't really. The man isn't really concerned about it. He doesn't really see it. He doesn't really discover it. A woman discovers it. And a woman is prepared to rise above it, and she obligates the man to rise up. She makes the transition. It always comes from the woman. We just associate that she has the force of ego, the vessel, the deficiency, but it's not correct. Along with that, she also shows the way. She also reveals the necessity of correction. Therefore, in all the phases throughout history, we see precisely a woman. Precisely a woman. You see, if a man, without Miriam, what would have happened with Moses? What would have been with us? With Esther? What would have been with us? In all these critical, most critical situations, a woman always comes along, even Ruth, and adds fire to the connection, additional connection that we have to do now, and gives an example. And of course, men here, of course, women force the men to carry out the correction, just like a woman sending her husband to work to make money, to bring power, that, so that she'll know what's with this power, how to use it. Just like a bit of sperm, like a woman brings and gives birth to. There's a division of roles. I don't want to completely erase the male force, the how a man participates in all this, but a woman, she shapes the correction because she organizes the house. She colors everything. Therefore, in the example of Ruth, we see in a very methodical manner how many things she has to do to implement it. and also Nomi, both of them, because like over there with Moshe and Miriam, in couples, yes, in many places we see it, that it's two women, okay? We're always talking about that same power that a woman has, and we know that the use of power depends on how we use it. So now we want to mention a few women that maybe used it in an opposite manner. The first I can think of is Lot's wife. In what way did she use her power precisely to stop or to hold things up? Or maybe it's the opposite act. There's many examples. Maybe while you drink something, maybe they don't remember what Lot's wife did in Sodom when it was destroyed, and Lot and his wife and their family were leaving Sodom, and the Creator says, "Don't look back." Lot's wife turns around and she still looks back, and the story tells that she turns into salt, statue of salt, and this teaches us not to look back. So what is this female character? You said everything. I told the story. Now it's clear. But beyond the story is one thing. They say, oh, it was once upon a time. How is it relevant today? Not to look back is clear. What does it mean back? The destroyed home. You need to create a new home. You need to go to a new stage. A woman isn't interested. She's attracted to the behind, going backward. Even though we want to go forward, and she has what to go toward ahead, she's against it. She resists. She becomes a pillar of salt instead of sweet. That's what's called good. She becomes salt. Salty. There's a power in that in women like that as well. Like in everything. For each thing, of course, there's something opposite it. There's many examples like this. This against this, the Creator created. And we truly need to show an example here. When we work with the general public, and we want to teach people the integral education, what does it truly mean in the new social approach not to look back? What does it mean? If we want to create relations like in one family, what shouldn't we do? What does it mean looking back and falling? It's habit. Habit becomes second nature, and it's hard for us to get out of it. You know, I meet with lots of couples many times. They like to fight once in a while. And they scream, and you can go into the police and ask. There's families like that, without that, they can't live. It's normal for them, even hitting each other and everything. And it's become a habit, and they can't get out of it. Especially since now we're starting the integral education, and we want to influence people. They have some kind of trend to continue like we were. And they don't understand, they don't feel that it's a bad situation. They got used to it. Okay, so we're working, we're advancing. Look what you're doing. Look what kind of family you have. Look at your kids. Who's looking after the kids? They're doing stuff in the yard. What are you giving to them? What's so beautiful about what you're doing? But look what you have out of life. Are you enjoying it? You want to give pleasure to the walls, that you're coloring the walls, that you're painting the walls? Are you enjoying this color or not? It's like there's some stopping, and it's felt in a big part of the public until they hear also a person's ego that he doesn't want. It explains to a person that it's worth it for him to stay like he is. leave it, it'll work itself out, everyone's like that, the media, there's what to deal with. The main thing is to understand that if nature is obligating us to reach a state of one family, because the crisis is revealing how we're all interconnected, and this is the only way we can receive and we'll all profit from it in our sensation and health, everything, then we must take it once and for all as our goal and do everything we can to get out of this destructive situation, out of this crisis, and not to be like Lot's wife. And it's a problem, because it's in our nature. We're lazy by nature, each and every one of us. We can't even maintain ourselves. We're all attracted to somehow. It'll pass. I'm like everyone. First they'll do it, then I'll do it maybe. That's Lot's wife. You mean Lot's wife? It's looking, it's this previous approach, the habits, the old paradigms, the old ways of thinking that we're always inclined to go back. Whoever doesn't go to what the world is inviting him toward, all the changes, then he stays like Lot's wife. The whole family becomes destroyed, his whole home, Sdom, then he himself, that's it. There's two more women we want to mention. The queen, and Talia, who was his daughter. You need to tell that story. Who knows them? Just two words, just the principle. The principle is that both of them, they took people to... What does that mean in today's society? Idolatry, that's all the fashion, all the things that disconnect us. I'm not against it. Everything has its own weight. There's nothing bad in the world. It's just to what extent we overdo it. There has to be a bit of fights, a bit of this, a bit of that, but to grow, but to take it in the nice proportion and advance forward. You can't advance, the wheel goes back and forward, otherwise it doesn't move. That's how we are all the time, right, left, right, left. However, everything has to be in balance, meaning revelation of the bad, not in order to advance a person. Is bad. I don't get it. Let's say I start fighting with you. I can say, Oren, let's improve our relations. And you say, why? Everything's fine. And I say, no, it's not okay. You see here, this and that, and maybe here. I'm coming to you to truly enhance our relations. The trend is for good, and I'm not moving from it. I'm always heading forward. To be more connected, to be more of a family, to be brothers. Yes? That's called the correct work. But if I go from the beginning with the wrong direction, and I want to come with the inclination without the good cover, with mutual responsibility, then there's a problem. That's idolatry. That means to destroy the term of one family. It's strange to us. Opposite than what we need to do. That's what idolatry is. And what causes us to become distracted and seduced, it's mainly gossip. There's nothing. It's slander between women. Unfortunately, it's very popular because men aren't really built for talking. They're more built for doing, for some quiet. They can sit for an hour, drink beer, have a cigarette, look at watch football or something. They can, for an hour or two can go by. That's it. They don't need to talk. Women, they don't want anything. They want between them. They just want to have time to talk between their friends, right? Yes, of course. It's a very significant thing for women. Women get together, and they each wait, when am I going to get a chance to talk? That's correct. And it's not that it's bad. The question is, about what? What does it cause? If it's bringing peace to the world, great. We're not going against nature. But we also have to use it with the women's power and speech and women's ability to be involved with each other through speaking. Anything that takes away from building, that's called idolatry. And here we need to pay attention. The main thing is that all the connection between people, and especially women, must be in the right direction without gossip or slander. Another character that I want us to talk about to achieve the corrected relations between us here in Israel. She comes as an agent that comes to, she cuts his hair off to make him weak and make all of Israel fall. These attributes are like some little spy, some agent that can make a nation fall. We're not really interested about her, but to learn what is this special attribute that a woman has to turn the man around in all the directions. She's capable. So what do we need to learn today when we build these new corrected relations between us? What is this character that can be like Delila? They can make us fall, that can disconnect our grasp on power, that can weaken us. A woman has the ability to be in two characters, the inner character and the external character. What does this mean? It's like the upper force that he himself presents himself to us. It's like the Supreme Mother. She has her husband, she has her personal life. And she's presents herself to her kids like a mother. And if she has to, she presents herself to her. She presents herself to them like a friend. She plays with them like a friend. With the husband, she presents herself as a woman. At work, she presents herself like an expert. She has many disguises. A man doesn't have the ability from nature to have many disguises. If women were in politics, they would be much sneakier than men. Much more. They have the ability. A woman is always playing. What she thinks inside, what she prepares. A man doesn't understand this. Just like kids don't understand her. She can also use her ability from nature, just like she gives birth, she has a womb, breastfeeding toward the next generation. She has roles that it's her and towards the kids, towards the grandchildren, small, big, close, and she gets along with everyone. She has no problem. For men, it's a big headache to be like that. He has to play with someone, with something. He has to think how I lower myself. He does it by force. For her, it's she doesn't need special power to do it. She's built like that from nature. Therefore, she... These are the examples of Lila. Since we use the examples of using female forces for negative, it just shows us how much we need to be educated to come to women and organize them to support the entire correction of the world and be as one family. It just jumped up to me, this woman builds and a woman destroys. It's these two powers. Either she's building or she can destroy everything with the same power. Acting, dancing, singing, it depends where we take it to. Just like Lila did. Eshet Chayil. We want to end with Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil is a song about the ideal woman. We're looking for her. The ideal woman that apparently knows how to do the smart use of all her attributes, all her qualities that she has. First of all, we understand that without this support, without this help, without this direction from the side of the woman who turns the man around, that she arranges things and prepares him and teaches him and directs him, then we don't get a man. That a female, a nukva, it's a term that's what you make a man out of, physically and also spiritually. So if we think to build something, to truly build something, then we need to build from the ground, from the woman. Therefore, our direction has to be first and foremost to women that have a deficiency, to see the family, to see successful kids, the continuation. For them, it comes from the inside, and it's burning and natural in them. Therefore, when we talk to women, our correct approach, we can find there the correct response. So talk to them. We're almost at the end of the show. We want you to hear you talk in a very emotional way, not to us, but straight to a woman that's hearing you for the first time in her life. What do you have to tell her, what she doesn't know about this new life, about the good life? I'm not really good about with talking. But I would put it like this. We would all like to see ourselves, and especially our kids, successful, living in a safe world, in a good world, where we'll get all our wishes. And we can't do this if we don't organize an environment that's called a family, just like we're discovering now that it has to be the size of the entire world. And we have to give an example of that because it's also in our soul. We as a nation, we began... We began with this goal of being as one family. This is how Abraham and Sarah taught us. This is how we need to continue. This is the only way for us to find our correct form and successful form, and no one will be able to touch us. But everyone will see in that a light to the nations, and they will come to us like Ruth, and they'll want to reach that same single family. As it is written, that all the goyim, all the Gentiles ran to there for correction as one man with one heart. And in this manner, and this is how we will reach in the whole correction, one big family. And it all depends on the wise woman that will obligate the entire world to implement her demand, her natural demand, and all the powers of nature will help her, and we will reach a good world.
Amen ve'amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Nitza Mazoz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best. New life.